American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, February 22nd, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. If you don't happen to believe that core political tyranny is trying to enslave you, you need to check your brain at the door, man. Quite obviously, you have not been paying attention to events that have been going on in the world around you. Where is your head? I don't understand how you people can possibly go around not believing that core political tyranny is not everywhere, under the bed, in the closet. I'm here to tell you, behind every terrorist, there's core political tyranny, and we, as responsible North Americans, cannot stand back and allow this core political tyranny to fund terrorism any longer. God, I should get into politics. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my LiveJournal. And my LiveJournal can be located at the LiveJournal website under Sean _ Kennedy. And the name of my LiveJournal has just recently been turned to a very covert secret message. You know, it'll be time to turn the page when you hear something blah, 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 blah. You know, it'll be time for me to turn the page when you hear something like... Actually, it wasn't even time for me to turn the page. You know, it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say something. What if you come back here and we go and get him? Anyway, you'll be following along with the stories. I would like to mention also the death of Hunter S. Thompson at this time. Feeling very bad about the death of Hunter S. Thompson. It's just... the show's recorded one day prior, so as you know, it's now Monday for me, and of course I've had a chance to look at the news reports about Hunter's death, feel very bad about it, but you know, hey, he was 67 years of age, he decided to turn the gun on himself for some reason, and I have no right to judge that. I just hope it wasn't foul play, because if it was foul play, motherfucker, I'm going to be really pissed, but I have a hunch it wasn't. If I was a gambling man, I'd say he was actually diagnosed with something, and he opted for the painless checkout versus a long and involved checkout. I'd like to think that would probably be the case rather than just the fact that his, the weasels came for him and he couldn't get away. I'd like to quote him just as a final sign-off for good old Hunter. Hey, something he said one time was, I hate to advocate drugs, alcohol, violence, or insanity to anyone, but there's always work for me. So it's just, you know, I love Hunter a lot. He was a big idol of mine, and it's sad that he's gone. You know, it'd be nice if we'd have been able to get a couple more books out of him. But, you know, hey, into the great wide open, dude. Shine on you, crazy diamond. So I got some feedback here. Dear Sean, not too long ago I wrote you an email about socialism, and you replied, and I thank you for that. Yeah, sorry I can't do longer replies, because, you know, sometimes I get these big book email, you know, send outs, and I can't do that. I've got to try to... I think it's better to give everyone a little bit versus... You know, one person a whole lot. So that's, does that make me a communist? Am I a communist emailer? I don't know. On February 13th, just a few days before my 17th birthday, my 27-year-old brother, Brandon, died from a methadone overdose. While talking to the medical examiner, my mother found out that the doctors are prescribing lots of methadone for pain relief. Apparently, you can go long periods of time before the high kicks in, so you take more and more of the drug. And when it finally kicks in, which can take hours, you can die literally out of nowhere. The problem is, it has hit the streets, taking many lives, including my brother's. I would like to get the message out as best I can for people not to abuse this drug. I was hoping you could help. Here's an article from New York Times. It's a little old, but it's very good. I would appreciate the help, the Lo-Fi Legionnaire. It might require a soul-sucking, subscription service in order to get and take a look at that, but I linked to it off the journal. And I didn't know that methadone was on the street. When people talk about meth, I think about crystal meth, which, of course, I have never done. Honest to God, I would tell you if I've done meth. I would, honestly. But I've never done crystal meth, to my knowledge. And I don't know why I would. Apparently, it's speed, and, well, me on speed would just be a bad idea. I think I'd try to avoid it. I mean, as it is, God bless coffee, but really... Don't think I could do the crystal methamphetamine thing or the methadone thing. I guess I know the methadone is used for treating heroin. They had that in Trainspotting. I saw that there. You know, so I guess they use it for treating heroin, come down and eases the pain and all the rest of it. But, I'm not a real big fan of a lot of crazy chemical drug use anyway. Kind of freaks me out, you know, wrecks the brain balance. And after all, you only got one brain box, so you may as well try to look after the old meat case. You know what I'm saying here? Got another piece of email. Is this email or was this actual snail mail? No, this sucker here was email. Check this out. Sean, I don't know how much I can thank you. You've made me think. I've learned from you. You've entertained me for countless hours. You are the fucking man. But let me run my little sob story by you real quick so you can get to the point of the email. Basically, I thought even from an early age that life was devoid of meaning and that I could only find happiness in TV and video games. You know, life's little things. I've been in a lot of places because of what seems to be constant crippling depression and that can only be cured by escaping from reality any way possible. I hated myself because I felt like I was worthless. It was quite a lot of... I quit a lot of stuff because of that. Sorry. I used to think that you had to be born to be great. All I saw in the mirror and for a long time was just a weakling. And thus far, my entire life, from birth till just about a week ago, I felt like this. But Sean, right now, for the past week, maybe I could be just the fact I had a four-day weekend, or maybe I went really fucking far off the deep end. I don't know now. But now, I feel stronger. A whole lot fucking stronger. I feel so fucking great. Sean, I've never felt so fucking great. I've never felt like I do now. Never before did I know this feeling, the ability to all of us just to get back up. Maybe I'll fucking fall right back down. My depression will wrap this ugly hand around my neck. Maybe I don't feel like it will. At least not like it has for the past 17 years of my thus far short life. Pain will only make me stronger, which that's a wonderfully army phrase, but not necessarily true. Pain is something that shows that there's something wrong, but that's okay. To experience and have these feelings come to me so fast make it seem more than somewhat unreal. Sean, it's because of you. It's because of what you do and what you've said that I feel this way. I'm going to have some problems and it's going to hurt, but my little private apocalypse will occur and it won't fucking stop me. Wounds heal and leave cool-looking scars to show to your friends. Maybe this is a corny email, but for once, I'm a person who I seek to be. I am the change I seek. I feel strong, not by physical capacity, but an indomitable will. Keep it up, and I'm withholding the name on that email. Now, sorry about breaking it up there. Sometimes some of these emails are a little bit hard for me to get through. But I get email like this often, not to devalue the email. I think it's fantastic. The fact that people are getting something out of the show, that's the reason why I do it. You know, I don't do it because, you know, I have this massive fascination with driving cars three decades, or from my birth decade. That's not my dream here to do this. Mind you, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, driving cars that are from your birth decade. But anyway, unless, of course, you're born any time past 1980, in which case, buy cars made in my birth decade, which would be the late 60s, early 70s. Anyway, regardless, I just wanted to say that thank you very much. These emails do keep me going. So if my work has affected you in a positive way, please send me an email. Let me know what's going on so that I can, it keeps me motivated. And if not, well, you can always donate. That's cool. Or you can do what this guy here did. Tank. Tank is a machine. He sent me a poster. And I've got a link to it on my LiveJournal page. If you go there, it's a Ghost in the Shell foil print, which is really, really nice. It's under the link at the bottom of the page, under My Precious. So I wanted to say thank you very much. I mean, it's always neat. I mean, the people who donate basically keep me alive. But I always find it fascinating when people send me gifts. Not because I want more gifts. Just because it shows a lot of thought. You know, I've oftentimes thought, like, some people give money as presents and stuff like that. Money's good, very useful, but I've always preferred a gift in, at, like, Christmas time and stuff like that. Like, I'd rather get a gift than I would an envelope full of money, is what I'm saying, at Christmas. You know, and especially from people who you care about, you know, because it shows that they're thinking about you and they think about something that you'd like and so on and so forth. And I just thought it was really, really cool. So I got a link to it there. It's an awesome, awesome print. And the funny thing is I get this thing, right? And I'm really excited because, you know, Sim shows up and he's got this thing. And he's like, hey, man, you know, we got to change how we order stuff because this cost me like $9 and all sort of stuff. So I had to give him back the $9 for the cost of customs and all that good stuff. But anyways, I go and I open up this poster print. I'm looking at this from allposters.com. And I'm like, oh, okay, I got a poster. Wow, somebody bought me a poster. Neato, which is cool because I dig art, right? So I crank this thing open and the dark one is there. And, of course, when you unravel it, you know, the major there in a foil print with, very sort of quasi-sexy pose with, you know, wires coming out of her and her body's all opened up and she's got, you know, a fam ass, I think. And I'm looking at this poster, and it doesn't even remotely occur to me that this could be a sexual image for some reason. I don't know. When you unroll the poster and you look at it, it's a beautiful poster. You look at this foil, this reflection and everything. Gorgeous poster, but it doesn't at all occur to me that it's, you know, a sexual pose or anything remotely like that, you know. And it's, but I know that she's naked and everything, but she's a robot, right? So it doesn't seem to really click with me. So I unroll it, and I'm like, oh, wow, well, this is getting framed. I just unrolled it, looked at it, and went, well, you know, this is getting framed, so it's going off to get framed right now. But, you know, I'm looking around the living room, and I go, oh, I think we could put it up here. And the dark one's looking at me, you know. She's got this look on her face. That's the, we're not going to talk about this with Sumerian here, look on her face. And I'm like, what? It's in the living room. You know, so what? And I guess chicks, you know, sometimes they get a little weird. Now, this happens when you're married. This is a bit of foresight for those of you out there yet to be married. Make sure that when you get married, you attain some small cubicle of space which you can claim as your own, either the garage or a study or something like that. Because invariably, unless you do that, you will have no say in what goes up inside of your own house. Now, I know that this sounds bizarre. I know this sounds like something that wouldn't be a risk for someone of my particular persuasion. But however, you don't know the fury of the Dark One. So I'm going to keep trying, though. I'm going to fight. I'm going to keep you guys updated to tell you the saga of my Ghost in the Shell poster and how I want to have it prominently displayed in my living room. I don't care. I think it's a wonderful poster, and I think it should, in fact, be there. I haven't got to the point where, you know, I'm going to start email bombing my wife to let her get me to put the poster up. But, you know, that could happen. That is a weapon I have in my diverse weaponry. That is something I have available to myself. So I'll let you know how it progresses. But as it stands right now, in the voice of monumental adversity, in the face of monumental adversity, I'm going to try to hang a Ghost of the Shell poster in my living room. Damn it. I don't care. Now, onto the sort yourself out. Dear Sean, hello. I'm in high school. You know what? I have a hell of a time with some of these emails. I'm a high school student as my laptop dies. Come back, laptop. Come back. Come back, laptop. Neat, neat. There we go. Hi, I'm a high school student who has always had trouble with learning math from teachers. Well, yeah, that's because those who do, those who can't teach. Every year, I would wind up reading and studying from the math book for that year since I didn't learn from taking notes in the daily lectures. The problem is that this year, the book I've received is in the lecture format, so it's no different in the book than the class lecture. Due to my not understanding this very well, I have not been able to keep up with the class, and my second semester, I currently have an F. Do you know of any good online sources for mathematics? Thanks. I do not. I was never a math god. I do not claim to be a math god. I can do some practical stuff, like, unless I can see an actual purpose for math, I never really got into it. In high school, for some reason, math is such an important skill to have, and I don't know, I couldn't seem to pick it up. Maybe I had a problem, or I was learning the wrong way or something, I don't know, but I had real difficulty with math, so I can't really tell you where to go there. And honestly, books can only take you so far. I'd recommend a tutor, you know, preferably a cute one. I think that you should probably look into getting yourself a tutor or find, you know, ask around, ask the teacher, say, listen, you know what, I want to get this, I want to know this, I have difficulty with this method of instruction, can you help me, I'm looking for a math tutor, can we set something up so that I can learn this, this is very important to me, and I'm very keen on passing your class. And I guarantee you that if the teacher isn't, in fact, a complete moron, he's going to be able to help you out there. If not, you know, hey, go the geek approach, throw some messages up in the library. You know, send it around. There's got to be a few people out there. People who are good at math often don't have a lot of friends. So, you know, maybe you might be able to make some buddies out of the deal, too. Actually, that's a horrible thing to say. That's a horrible thing to say. Sean, that's a terrible thing to say. Come on, we're all geeks. We all know it. Quite often in high school, when you're a rabid nerd and you haven't got the internet or whatever, it's hard to make friends. It's true. We all know it. So, you know, maybe this is an excuse to connect with people, get a real, you know, get one-on-one with someone. I think it's a good idea. So, sorry I couldn't give you any online resources. I'm sure that people will post some in my live journal, something like that. So you might want to check there. Wish I could help you out more. On to an opinion piece. Dear Sean, I was wondering what you think about this. Okay, I'll tell you. I was thinking, I look at all these horrible things that George W. Bush has had a hand in, but yet he still seems to be living in a dream world where he has made no mistakes and he can do no wrong. For once, I'm being stone-cold serious about what I say about G.W. Bush. I think that in his mind, he's doing the right thing. He thinks he's being a good president. Obviously, the presidential office is not as powerful of a position as it once was, but I'm sure G.W. still has a lot of power. So why not hack the president, so to speak? What would you think would happen if you took the president aside, so to speak? sorry, what do you think would happen if you took the president aside and said, hey, do you have any idea what you've done? What would you think would happen if you took George aside and explained to him that why all there are all these people, activists, counterculture members, liberals, at least some more level-headed conservatives alike, think that he's the worst thing since the neo-Nazis? If we showed the U.S. president why we think he has made some earth-shattering mistakes and showed him cold, hard facts that he just couldn't ignore, what do you think he will do? Well, just thought I'd ask you and see what you thought. Thanks, Muttley. Okay, Muttley, you know, I love your idealism. I really do. And I, too, would like to believe that deep down in his weird little heart, George W. Bush is actually a good person. But you got to understand that these people, unfortunately, at his level, okay, his family has got a history of being involved with the elite. I mean, these are the people who helped the Nazis, okay? So, unfortunately, I think that as a fundamental human being, George Bush believes that there are people who are not worth anything. You know, that's a horrible thing to say, but I think that it has nothing to do with race. I think it has to do with, you know, there's people with a good upbringing, people with a bad upbringing. There's this thought, you know, there's high-born people and low-born people, sort of like a caste-born system. And that's where George is at. You know, he really doesn't care about the black single mother in her Compton neighborhood. He doesn't give a shit about her because he's got bigger fish to fry. You see what I mean? He's all worried about, you know, foreign policy and millions of dollars. And it's the he's always one of these guys who's a big picture kind of dude. So he knows that there's protesters and he knows that there's problems. It's just that all of his advisors and everybody at that level, you know, have got him chasing after the elephant. You know what I mean? He's trying to look big picture all the time and just sort of keep things going and la, la, la. And he's just a little part of a greater wheel. Now, I think that he's probably, you know, not exactly the nicest, you know, individual on the planet. I mean, he's trying to do the right thing, I guess. But honestly, he's sort of locked in. And if he were to, let's say, you know, Sean Kennedy goes, dun, da, da, da. I go trundle up to the White House and I say, hey, Mr. President, let's go have a talk. And I take him aside. And because, you know, I channel the loa of all democracy and freedom into my body, dance the great crow dance on his desk, reveal unto him with no uncertain terms that he is in fact wrong, and it gets through to him, okay? Because I'm so amazing, I'm able to get through to George W. Bush, and he suddenly goes, holy shit, I need to be a vegetarian. Okay, so he comes around. Now what? What's he going to do? Honestly, what's he going to do? If he starts making any real change, they'll pull a JFK on his sorry ass. They'll shoot him dead. You don't think they will? They've already done it once. Okay, so the president really is not nearly as powerful as we would like to think. What has happened here is that the core politicals, and actually the love of money, has taken over our highest office in the free world. Okay, so it's unfortunate, but that's where it's at. So I think that if you did that to George Bush, I think he'd probably shoot himself. You know, honestly, because that's the only way out he could find, because I can't see any other way out for him. He'd either shoot himself or somebody else would shoot him. He can't make any serious changes. Yeah, sure. Sure. Now, granted, he's heading in a direction that nobody really wants. Well, all the big business wants, because, you know, despite all our rages, we'll just be rats in actual cages now. But when you look at it, I don't think you'll be able to get through to him. I think it's the way he was raised. I think that he honestly believes in this. You know, there's people who will make it and people who won't, and he just does not have an equality for all mentality. That's not his shtick. So, unfortunately, I know that you'd like to try to get through to him, but at some point you have to go, you know what? He's not going to listen, and that's just the way it is, and I'm sorry about that, but that's the really real world. Moving on into the news. Bible-obsessed murder. You know, I love this. They always quote video games as being, you know, leading cause of death and blah, 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 blah. You're always in the news. He played Grand Theft Auto and now he's killing people. They're training people to kill with video games. Well, it seems that after murdering his mother on February 4th, a 42-year-old man walked around in her skin. At night, the computer scientist, Roland Sylvester Z, walked around undisturbed for one half one and a half hours. Sorry. Dripping with the blood from wounds he inflicted on himself. People who met him thought he was dressed for Mardi Gras. A witness, I was looking down the street from my apartment when I saw him standing there. His face was dark. I know it must have been smeared with blood. I thought he was wearing some sort of white cloak. Later I'd found out what it was. Now I can't sleep anymore. Despite being the middle of the night, so many people noticed Z that because he was shouting biblical quotes from the Book of Revelations. The police, who arrested Z for disturbing the public peace, didn't notice the gruesome attire until they arrived at the station. A police doctor determined it was a 15-kilo skin with the fat tissue of a woman. The man immediately confessed that there were the remains of a 76-year-old mother. The police indeed discovered the woman's skin body in her home. Z stated that the police murdered murdered his mother in the name of God. Right there, in the name of God, he murdered his mother. He's convinced that he's mentally healthy. Jesus, according to Z, was behind him. Well, I see. The mutilations and walking around the skin, explains Z, as dragging oneself through the slime and humiliation for God. The intelligent and reasonably successful Z had apparently taken a turn for the worse after the death of his father several years ago. The man became slowly obsessed with religion, according to people from his surroundings. Now, you never find people walking around wearing their mother's skin, going off about how they got fragged on a level. Never happens. You never get people walking around in human skin in a single first-person shooter, ever. I've never seen it happen. I have seen somebody's head on your arm because you punched him through the head, but that's a different kind of thing. That's more like a bracelet. It's not really wearing the skin. But anyway, so I'm here to tell you, the Bible causes, if you ban video games and say that video games are evil, okay, and they cause death and destruction, and you're citing quotes from video games, you know, about these people, they played video games, and then they killed people. Well, let's do this. Let's look at everyone who's religious and kills people. And we'll use that if they get rid of our video games, then, you know, granted, the next step will be to eliminate the Bible from being sold and all other religious texts from being sold too, because quite obviously, religion breeds violence. You think video games breed violence? No problem, Jack. No problem. Maybe it's a little desensitizing. We can argue about that. But there's very little question that religion breeds violence. I mean, I've got, 3,000 years of history to back me on that one. Religion breeds violence. So since we're banning the video games, maybe we could get those little stickers on Bibles. You know, danger, this book promotes violence and hatred against homosexuality. This book may be considered to be a hate crime. You know, we'll put that on the Torah. You know, apparently in the Torah it says that Jews are cool, but everybody else sucks. We're all the Goya or whatever it is. I might be wrong on that one. I think it's Goyim or Goya or whatever. So, you know, that's another religious tact we don't want kicking around. It's not just the Bible. No. We need to get rid of the Quran. We need to get rid of the Torah. We need to get rid of the Old and New Testament. We need to get rid of it all. Because, after all, that's what's causing all the problems in the fucking Middle East. It's not because they're playing Quake. It's because they worship. So, just a thought, you know. That's sort of my particular take. Thought I'd, you know, throw that out to you. And, of course, they're privatizing the nuke world. Now, here are the nuke work. Nuclear work. Now, there's things that should be privatized. You know? Like, for example, things that could be privatized. You could privatize some military training. That would be a little frightening, but you could do it. I don't really think you should privatize working with nuclear materials because, well, governments have, you know, national security consciousness, and corporations do not because they're multinational. So they'll just, you know, they're slaves to money. The warning comes in documents compiled by the UK government's nuclear safety advisors released to New Scientist under the Freedom of Information Act. Now, bear in mind that just the other day, they lost 30 kilos of plutonium, weapons-grade shit. Okay, this one factory did, that's government-run. They reveal serious concerns about the plans which allow private companies to tidy up radioactive messes left by 60 years of nuclear power. Advisors fear that financial pressures will encourage the companies to cut corners and it will increase the risk of accidents. You think? Work is about to begin on dismantling and cleaning up reactors, waste stores, and contaminated land at the 20 sites across the United Kingdom. The government wants management of at least half the sites to put out a competitive tender before the end of 2008. The aim is to drive down costs by allowing private companies to bid against the state organizations in their currently run sites. So, great. That'll be good. Eventually, what we'll have happening is we'll have child labor, you know, some child labor in there cleaning up nuclear reactors. That'll be good, you know. Stunted people. And we want to cut the cost. Now, there's things you can cut costs on. Some things you can cut costs on. You can cut costs on, you know, whether or not you get cheese on your burger. Okay, you can cut costs on that. You can cut costs on stuff like, you know, writing on both sides of the piece of paper. That's something you can cut costs on. You know, paper consumption, stuff like that. Cleaning up nuclear or toxic waste is not something you cut costs on because that, you want that to be a quality job. Okay, you want to shell out the bucks to make sure that the nuclear waste gets cleaned up properly. Just a sort of a personal guideline. But I'd want to make sure that the people working with nuclear waste aren't, shall we say, disgruntled. Just a thought. Got another news story here. Hacker goes to jail. A sophisticated computer hacker, as opposed to those horribly simplistic, you know, Down syndrome computer hackers, who penetrated servers at the wireless giant T-Mobile, remember that? Pleaded guilty Tuesday to a single felony charge of intentionally accessing a pretended computer and recklessly causing damage. He recklessly caused damage. I don't think he actually recklessly caused damage. All he did was look at stuff. Nicholas Jacobson, who's 22, entered the guilty plea as part of a select plea agreement with the government, says prosecutors Wesley Hsu, who declined to provide details. Yeah, because the guy sold out and he's rolling over on everybody. The prosecution, first reported by Security Focus last month, has been handled with unusual secrecy from the start. And a source close to the case said that January that the government was courting Jacobson as a potential undercover informant. Really? Well, nothing. I don't think he'll be too much of a successful undercover informant now, because I had this sent to me. I then betray this to the WOGs, and now everybody knows that Nicholas Jacobson was busted and is going to be an undercover informant. Before his arrest last October, Jacobson used his access to T-Mobile database to obtain custom passwords, social security numbers, and monitored U.S. Secret Service cybercrime agents' email. Wow, watching the watchers. According to government court filings in the case, sources say the hacker was also able to download candid photos taken by Sidekick users, including Hollywood celebrities, which were shared with the hacking community. Wow. According to Secret Service affidavit filed in this case, Jacobson came to the agency's attention in March of last year when he offered to provide T-Mobile customers' personal information to identity thieves through an internet bulletin board. Jacobson had access to some customers' social security numbers and dates of birth, voicemail pins, and the passwords, providing users with web access to their T-Mobile email accounts, but he did not have access to credit card numbers. The company, based in Bellevue, Washington, boasts its 16.3 million U.S. customers. So chances are he had access to everything. Okay, let's cut the shit. It wasn't just a few people here. It was a whole bunch. This is why I don't really trust private corporations with a whole lot of my mail. A whole lot of personal information. A whole lot of anything. Like, yeah, I got a Gmail account now. Somebody sent me an invite. Thank you very much. But I'm not going to use it. I don't like putting my personal data online. It's not in your possession. You don't know where that's going to go. You have no idea who's going to access that. You have no idea who's going to read that. Not very cool. So you want to keep your stuff local, man. Keep your stuff local. That's the best way to do it. Now, I had this next story sent to me, and my initial thought was bullshit. But then I began thinking about it a little bit, and this kind of makes sense. Maybe I could get some help with this particular story. I'd like to get some feedback from all you netrunners out there. Let me know whether or not you think this guy's full of shit. Now, this is from a paper called The Capitalist Times. Now, I myself am not a staunch, you know, hardcore communist. I'm definitely not like a hardcore right-wing capitalist. You know, you got to be somewhere in the middle ground there. Maybe on something else, you know, reference Heinlein, you know. But it seems to me that how do we know we're running out of oil? Everybody's always talking about the energy crisis, right? Well, this guy here's got this article, and I'd like to check some of this data. So maybe some people could help me out. Let me know whether or not this guy's full of shit. Ben Lieberman, director of air quality policy with Competitive Enterprise Institute, thinks the U.S. is actually anti-energy policy. Okay, well, obviously this guy's for big business, but anyway. He points to the billions spent on green alternative energy research on things like wind, solar, biomass energy, as opposed to the rather simple idea of drilling for the oil that we know exists in Alaska, estimated to be as high as 16 billion barrels, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. And surely the world is running out of oil, right? Wrong. The world has plenty of oil. Enough, says the U.S. Geological Survey, to last at least the next several hundred years or longer. Worldwide, there are 14,000 billion barrels, which I believe is 14 trillion barrels, of crude oil reserves. In its World Petroleum Assessment 2000 report, the global reserves of crude oil were estimated to be in the 3 trillion barrels. Reserve, a really good reason to annex Canada, for example, would be recent oil reports that its oil reserves now total more than 180 billion barrels, most of which will be found in economically recoverable oil tar sands deposits. By contrast, Saudi Arabia's reserves are estimated at 264 billion. The U.S. oil share reserves are estimated to be sufficient to provide 100% of crude oil consumption of its current rate to more than 200 years. The big if is where the government will get out of the way and let energy producers get at it and refine the oil to sell it to us. Yes, absolutely. Sick those people on our environment. Another energy source of enormous value and use is natural gas. The U.S. currently consumes 2.1 trillion cubic feet per year, with approximately half of that used for industrial purposes. Right now, natural gas is the source of 33% of our total energy consumption. We surely must be busy building pipelines and new facilities for storage of liquid natural gas, right? Wrong! The decline in the rate of gas wells has been steadily increasing for the past decade. He goes on talking about how horrible it is, blah, 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 blah. Not surprisingly, as Richard Green, senior vice president of La Roche Petroleum Consultants, Dallas, Texas, pointed out, continuous litigation by environmental activists has effectively removed large gas productive portions of the western United States and offshore from exploitation and reduced the potential natural gas production. Well, suddenly I feel all warm and fuzzy inside. The results is that coal remains the source of nearly half of all electrical generated. If you can be, you can bet the Greens continue to militate, that's what he said, to militate against the use of coal as well. Those goddamn Greens, those people concerned about the environment, what are they thinking? Now, this is an interesting story because it's in, you know, the hardcore, this is a hardcore right-wing, you know, fuck the world, we're here for money, you know, no help for the little guy. If you happen to not have the education, then fuck you, you're not going to make it, you get to die on the side of the road. That's these mentalities. These are the people who don't stop to help you change your tire when it's raining. That's the kind of people that these are. So you look at that and you go, okay, well, you know, I like the fact that you just randomly, you know, just annexed Canada. I enjoy that about the article. That makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. But beyond that, is this true? Is that we have no oil shortage? Because if we have no oil shortage, and this is actually the fact, because you wouldn't actually have to annex Canada. Rather than do that, their shit pump, you could just kind of go, hey, can we buy some of that from you? At, like, say, you know, standard market rates, and I bet you, you know, Canada would probably sell it to you. Just a thought there. Or you could just come in here and, you know, start killing people and shit, which I know, you know, apparently right-wing America is all for that. But, you know, that's what a few minor shit pumps are into. Generally, you know, the people I met in New York and when I met in Nevada, the people I met in California, they weren't really into shooting people. That wasn't really their thing. You know, they seemed pretty nice to me. You know, there's a few people at DEF CON that were into shooting people. They weren't into shooting Canadians, though. They were into shooting, you know, government people who wanted to come take their guns and stuff. That's who they were into shooting. But, you know, just sort of a personal guideline. I think you'd want to ask first before you just start, you know, taking over countries and shit. But is this true that we don't have an oil shortage? You know, maybe we should look into that because we all have been told, we've been force-fed this oil shortage, right? We're all running out of oil. Oil prices are shooting up, right? Well, the problem is that maybe there is no oil crisis. Just like there were no shark attacks on the rise in the summer of the shark. Just like there was no road rage. Just like a plane didn't hit the Pentagon. Maybe there's no oil shortage. And all of this is us getting played so we spend more money on fucking gas. The war is a great excuse for it. Sure, the petroleum companies are making all the money. They're making money because they got the best scam going. They're over there in the Middle East securing oil so they win there. Gas prices shoot up so they win there. They're making money hand over fist. They're making it in Iraq and they're making it on the home front. God damn, it's good to be a capitalist in today's day and age. All we need to do is fake a war and kill thousands of innocent people. But we don't know them, and fuck them anyway. They're on the low end of the totem pole. We're the super rich. We're the super elite. We'll make sure that our kids get a good education, because we're the master race. That's what they're thinking. That's what they're thinking. The master race is no longer something of genetics. It's an economic quality. If you've got the money, you've got the power. You don't got the money, you ain't got shit. So, something to check out. I'd like to see, is there an oil shortage? Something to go in there. And, of course, you know, right after following that article, well, this guy's saying how the Greens suck. Well, apparently the Environmental Protection Agency has been caught selling out. The Environmental Protection Agency is illegally negotiating secret agreements with industry lobbyists over pesticide regulation, according to a lawsuit filed today by the NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council. The lawsuit specifically cites private agreements between the agency and chemical companies over the regulation of atrazine, one of the most heavily used weed killers in the country, and DDVP, a highly toxic insecticide. NRDC contends that the agreements have undermined public health safeguards by failing to restrict the use of these dangerous chemicals. Failing to restrict them. The EPA's secret backroom deals with pesticide makers are clearly against the law, and they're a threat to our health, says NRDC attorney Aaron Congello. EPA is required to make independent decisions on pesticide safety instead of negotiating deals with the chemical industry. Well, that seems to, that rings true, even if the guy's putting a spin on it. If they're negotiating deals, then what the fuck? According to government records obtained by NRDC through the Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, EPA officials met secretly more than 40 times with representatives from atrazine's main manufacturer, Syngenta, while the agency was evaluating the weed killer's toxicity. Ultimately, the agency agreed to allow atrazine to stay on the market, even though chemical has contaminated the drinking water sources across the country. The EPA has also been involved in private negotiation with chemical company Amvac over the status of the insecticide DDVP, which it sells under a number of trade names, including No Pest Strips. These negotiations violate EPA regulations, the federal law, specifically the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, the Federal Advisory Committee Act, and the Freedom of Information Act, according to NRDC's lawsuit. These deals are bad for public health, bad for the environment, and bad for democracy, said Eric D. Olson, the NRDC senior attorney. Olson noted that more than 20 years ago, the NRDC sued the agency for similar widespread violations committed under EPA Administrator Ann Gorsuch. After Gorsuch and other EPA officials resigned amid allegations of improper industry influence, William Ruckelshaus, I'm not kidding, replaced Gorsuch and settled NRDC's case in 1984, agreeing to strict regulations that forbid secret meetings and private deal-making. EPA apparently is back to its old habits, Olson said. So, if the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, is starting to do backroom deals with pesticide manufacturers, doesn't anyone actually have any fucking decency left in the government? Doesn't that exist anymore? I think it does. And you wonder why people are prompted to violence. You wonder why people, eventually just break down and go buy a weapon. Really. You wonder why that happens. We're trying to talk this out, but if we succeed in the talk out, then things stay okay when things get a little bit better. But if we fail in the talks, look at the price that's paid. We poison our water. Jesus. Aren't these people thinking, or do they even care? Or are they, in fact, so disconnected from reality that they can't see that they're destroying the planet? I don't know. Maybe it's me. Who am I? I'm just some Canadian guy. We're going to get a next anyway, so who gives a shit, right? Right? Well, it seems that aside from the EPA negotiating with the pesticide giants and such, we also have the USA negotiating, finally, with some of the Iraqi terrorists. Now, these terrorists are simply, I don't think they're really terrorists in their own country. They're insurgents. They don't like the fact that we're there, so they're shooting us. Generally, if there's people on our soil and they were driving around in tanks, you'd be shooting them, too. Not trying to, I'm not taking their side, but it's understandable. Okay? But apparently, the USA is negotiating. Citing unidentified Pentagon and Iraqi sources, the magazine reported Sunday that the U.S. is using back-channel communications with certain insurgents groups. The Bush administration has said it will not negotiate with Iraqi fighters, and there's no official authorized dialogue. Well, I'm glad that somebody somewhere is talking. The magazine cited a secret meeting between two members of U.S. military and an Iraqi negotiator, a middle-aged former member of Saddam Hussein's government, and the senior representative of what he called the Nationalist Insurgency. A U.S. officer tried to get names of the leaders while Iraq complained the new Shia-dominated government will be controlled by Iran. Oh, this is the Shiite-Muslim thing, I guess. According to the account meeting provided by the Iraqi negotiator. We are ready to work with you, the Iraqi negotiator said, according to Time. So, I guess they're worried about the Shiite-Muslims taking over and, Iran basically taking over all of Iraq, because Iran and Iraq has been at war for a long freaking time. So now, I guess they're worried that Iran is going to just, use this opportunity to use religious influence and all the rest of it to take over Iraq, and then they'll be shit out of luck. So, but they're talking, and my enemy's enemy is my friend, so maybe they can make a peaceful resolution to this. I don't really care about, democracy and freedom and all that shit right now. What I want to happen right now is I want innocent kids to stop getting killed. That's the number one shit. I want people to stop dying. Then we will determine, once we eliminate some of the suffering and the dying, we'll try to decide on a course of action of what kind of system of government we want to set up over there, so that these people will be happy, productive, and free. Just sort of personal guideline. Fuck all the political rhetoric, okay? People are dying. We need to stop that. And if that means that you talk to someone, if it means you dance on a table, if it means I'm hanging coconuts off my nuts, okay, it means that's what you do to stop people from dying, okay? That's just how it works. Now, everyone knows about the Bluetooth worm, Kabir. If not, there's a Bluetooth worm called Kabir, which was built by this pinhead in Italy. Or is it Spain? One of those places. And now it's been seen in the USA. Woohoo! Finnish antivirus research company F-Secure said it discovered the first in-the-wild sighting of Kabir in Santa Monica, California. Great. So if you've got Bluetooth on your phone, time to deactivate that for a while. Kabir is a Bluetooth-using worm that runs in Symbian mobile phones that appears that supports Series 60 platforms. So Symbian mobile phones that support the Series 60 platforms. Christ, tongue twister phone stuff. And replicates over the Bluetooth connections. Kabir has spread slowly into 12 countries and marks the beginning of the mobile phone virus era. We're watching history. It is by far the most damaging of the small family of cell phone viruses to date. F-Secure identified the U.S. infections as Kabir H and Kabir I. So, just so you know, in case you are, in fact, one of these people using a Symbian mobile phone that supports Series 60 platform with Bluetooth, you've got a virus on the way that's trying to take over your phone. Now, Walmart, as some people know, were nailed on a child labor suit. And I think it was kind of a bullshit suit because there was kids 18 driving forklifts. And, of course, that's child labor law. Somebody saw a chance to get some money, so they hit Walmart up for it. Yes, you know, a hit against Walmart is, you know, a hit against Walmart. But, I mean, that's kind of bullshit. It's not like they were enslaving six-year-olds like they're doing in third-world countries. But check this out. Walmart, the largest retailer in the nation, also, interesting enough, the second most often sued entity in the country behind the government, recently signed a settlement with the U.S. Department of Labor over some child labor issues. Most of them, 18 to 24, involved workers under 18 using hazardous machinery. The company settled on the case for $135,000, hardly difficult for a company whose profits topped $10 billion this year. But what's odd about this is that another part of the settlement was the Department of Labor would give Walmart 15 days notice before investigating any child labor complaints. Why on earth would a regulatory body of the government give one of the largest companies it's supposed to be regulating notice that it's about to investigate them? That's some interesting shit. John R. Fraser, the top wage official of the Department of Labor under President Bush, the first, said giving the company 15 days notice of any investigation is very unusual. The language appears to go beyond child labor allegations and cover all wage and hour allegations. It appears to put Walmart in a privileged position that, to my knowledge, no other employer has. The Assistant Labor Secretary for Employment Standards, Victoria Lipnick, said that the notice only applies to child labor violations. Oh, well. So, you know, if they get nailed on child labor now they get 15 days to clean it up. I could build a starship in 15 days. You're telling me they're going to give these guys 15 days to prep for this? That's bullshit. Even if this is the case, even if it's just child labor, okay, I find it odd that they would give such notice. Ms. Lipnick said that giving Walmart notice before conducting investigation would encourage the company to correct problems sooner. Yeah, it'll encourage them, but you want to fine them, okay, so you can get the money for that, for one thing. But it's not about that. It's about me keeping these the country of Walmart may as well be. It's the 10th largest trading partner with China. Nonetheless, it seems counterproductive and downright obsequious for the Labor Department to agree, especially considering this was a settlement involving something Walmart had done, to tell Walmart whenever they were about to investigate them for something, especially since Walmart doesn't have the greatest track record vis-a-vis the law already having been sued for deleting hours off employees' time cards, one of the largest class action lawsuits in history alleging gender discrimination in payment and promotions. With these and many others in mind, it again seems like the last company that should be given notice when Labor Department is about to come knocking on their door, which I agree. There's no reason to give Walmart notice. There's no reason whatsoever to give core politicals notice that you're coming to investigate them. It's the role of government to regulate these assholes, because if they just turn everything over to privatization, we're so screwed. We're so done. No one cares about the environment. Who speaks for the environment then? You know, they want to own every square inch of land on the planet. They're looking forward to owning everything. Can you imagine? Every stream, every beach, every tree, every rock, everywhere is owned. Trademarked. Every park. No more public land. No more Burning Man. No more anything to do with freedom or expression. You have to get a license to fly a kite. Could you imagine that? We're already at a stage where, you know, Daddy, were you licensed to tell me that bedtime story? We're already at a stage where you can't sing happy birthday in a public place anymore. We're already there. That's the insanity that they've got promoting this. You know, it's crap. This is bullshit, man. It's total garbage. And then you've got Walmart, who's got more people in uniform than the U.S. Army, okay, making deals like this where now, you know, they get the intelligence factor to know, legally, that they've got people coming to investigate them. Can you believe that? Absolutely obscene. I cannot believe that we would agree to such idiotic laws. Honest to God. Now, on to the Daily Hack, which, you know, I'm really happy about this particular Daily Hack because, as we know, Walmart was the big people bringing in the RFID tags, right? So, today we talk about hacking RFID tags. That's today's Daily Hack. We got two people sent me some links so we can start getting into the whole, you want to bring the RFID? Well, of course, if you're a follower of Newsreel and you know what's going on and you're a wog in the know, you know that we've got RFID on the way. And since it's on the way, well, we'll just hack it and we'll be ready for it when it gets here. From the site, I always get a kick out of companies who use proprietary crypto in their products. Hackaday reader BRAD writes, researchers at Johns Hopkins University and RSA Laboratories have demonstrated how to crack the encryption of Texas Instrument RFID transponder under used in many immobilizer-equipped car keys and Exxon Mobil SpeedPass e-payment fobs. The team was able to reverse engineer the protocol and come up with a system for a brute force key recovery process in a matter of hours. They also created a proof of concept radio device that could be used to mimic a SpeedPass fob and purchase gasoline. Wow, free gas. Nice. Their cracking device utilizes 16 FPG gas and is able to do it in a FP gas. Utilize 16 FP gas. Am I saying this wrong? Must be something I'm not familiar with. Is able to do it in a couple hours, what 10 general purpose PCs would do in 2 weeks. All for the price of about $3,500. Ooh, that's still pretty pricey. Mind you, you could always just get more computers and put them on it. Or we could link up a whole bunch of computers in a distributed computing platform and we could just stick, you know, like 1,000 computers on it all in their downtime, like a screensaver thing. Kind of like the SETI program. This reminds me of the bombs. It's called bombs, used by the British cryptanalysis to crack Enigma ciphers in World War II. Pretty cool stuff. So that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the news you need to stay alive, including if I get any more cool stuff on RFID, you can bet I'll be handing you that as well. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Jesse, Anonymous and Anonymous, and the Anonymous donators, thank you very much. Jesse again, the Grey Ghost, Robert, Forleet, Michael, Matthew, Matt, Kevin, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric, Speaker, Jeff, Malcolm, Peter, Keith, Timor, Weblife, Richard, Greg, Evan, Matt, Drake, Levi, Ashton, David, Brian, Austin, Tara, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Adam, Mystique, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Art, Diarmude, Peter, Jesse, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Dylan, Lars, Daniel, Mookie, and Philip. Thank you so much for your donations, guys. They keep me alive. And thanks again, Tank, for the poster. That's all cool. And, you know, I don't want people to feel like they have to do that, though. If you want to, because the poster was expensive, okay? Don't go buying expensive stuff. Just, you know, if you want to drop a couple bucks into the donations, that is probably the best thing you can do. But again, I do thank you for the poster. If you'd like to keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. And special thanks to some hard netrunners. Oh, and one other point, just before I get into that. You know, I hope people do send SIM stuff, too, because I'm always the front man. I'm always the guy in the front of the band there, you know, yelling and screaming in the mic. But if it wasn't for SIM, none of this would happen. Okay, none of this. Realistically, I am a voice of one guy screaming in the darkness. If it wasn't for SIM, none of Rant Radio would exist. None of the media would exist. The guy is just steadfast and solid. So realistically, you know, we should all get together and do something nice for the guy. You know, maybe we could do it secret. I think he listens to all these programs, so maybe we'll have to think up something. Something devious. There's some homework for everyone. We have to think up something nice for Sim. Something sickly, bizarrely nice. Like, Server just takes over his life and wafts him away to some crazy place, you know? Like, we'll send him off to, like, Hedonism 2 or some psychedelic mind trip festival down in the Caribbean or something like that. That'd be cool, eh? I could kidnap him. I could do it. Well, think about it. Think about that. Chew on that. Get back to me. Special thanks to some hard netrunners. Astrofix, Judas, Druid YC Maru, Polysci, Ricky Rocket, Psychofish, Valerian, Urban Monkey, Soab, Dosaktu, or DS Otaku, Dosaktu. Yeah, I guess I Dusatatu. Tatu, Tatu, Nanu, Nanu. No Delete, Iridium, Wanadi, Rebel Whore, Synthesia, Caberlord, and Mad Mohawk. Special digital baptism today for Manuel O'Kelly. I can't talk, man. Manuel O'Kelly, who has been around for a long time, so I've thought a lot, and he is now named Gug. G-U-G. That's from an H.P. Lovecraft creature. Go check it out. It's very cool. And special thanks to everyone else for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up an old album called Tones on Tale. Actually, the band is Tones on Tale Night Music. I used to listen to this stuff at the Twilight Zone back in the day in Vancouver. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
This message is for Paul Oakenfold. How are you? It's Anita Baymont, Connor Thompson's assistant. I'm going through the messages and just getting back with you to let you know that Hunter did get the CDs. I've listened to them and I'm excited, and Hunter has listened to them. And he's interested. So we'll give you a call back in a couple days.
Yeah, so, great stuff. We'll talk soon. Thanks, bye. Let me just read this. Nixon's spirit will be with us for the rest of our lives. Whether you're me, or Bill Clinton, or you, or Kurt Cobain, or Bishop Tutu, or Keith Richards, or Amy Fisher, or Boris Yeltsin's daughter, or your fiancé's 16-year-old beer-drunk brother, with his braided goatee and his whole length like a thundercloud out in front of him. This is not a generational thing. You don't even have to know who Richard Nixon was to be a victim of his ugly Nazi spirit. Broke the heart of the American dream.